10 Lucky Leprechauns by Catherine Helling. The woods are full of leprechauns and treasures to uncover. Fiddly fizz, there's magic there is when leprechauns find each other. One leprechaun hears a noisy wee elf who's playing a squawky kazoo. Fiddly fizz, 'tis magic it is. It's leprechaun number 2. Two leprechauns find a busy wee elf who's painting an orange spotted tree. Fiddly fizz, 'tis magic it is. It's leprechaun number 3. Three leprechauns spy a nimble wee elf who romps on the green forest floor. Fiddly fizz, 'tis magic it is. It's leprechaun number 4. Four leprechauns see a silly wee elf who splats in a belly flop dive. Fiddly fizz, 'tis magic it is. It's leprechaun number 5. Five leprechauns watch a jolly wee elf who's practicing juggling tricks. Fiddly fizz, 'tis magic it is. It's leprechaun number 6. Six leprechauns spot a speedy wee elf who zooms by. Engines are revving. Fiddly fizz, 'tis magic it is. It's leprechaun number 7. Seven leprechauns glimpse a lively wee elf who's balancing on an old gate. Fiddly fizz, 'tis magic it is. It's leprechaun number 8. Eight leprechauns view a frisky wee elf who's zipping through trees on a vine. Fiddly fizz, 'tis magic it is. It's leprechaun number 9. Nine leprechauns meet a clever wee elf who's hunting for treasure, and then fiddly fizz, magic it is, it's leprechaun number 10. 10 leprechauns find a big pot of gold at the place where the bright rainbow ends. But fiddly fizz, the true magic is finding 10 lucky leprechaun friends. Lucky Tucker by Leslie McGurk. When Tucker woke up on St. Patrick's Day, he got off on the wrong paw. First, he had to go for a walk in the rain before breakfast. Then his favorite squeaky toy got stuck under the couch. Just when he thought it couldn't get any worse, a black cat hissed at him. My luck needs to change, thought Tucker. What if I roll in this bed of clovers? Maybe their luck will roll off on me. Little did he know that he was being watched by a leprechaun. You just rolled in my bed of four-leaf clovers, the leprechaun said. Now you'll be the luckiest dog around. And off he ran. Tucker chased after the leprechaun, but he got sidetracked when he saw a boy licking an ice cream cone. The top scoop was about to fall off. Tucker made the catch. Wow, what a lucky dog, the boy said. By now the leprechaun had disappeared, so Tucker decided to go to the dog park. Today was his lucky day. He got to play and wrestle with all his best friends. On his way home, Tucker passed by the bakery that sold homemade dog biscuits. Aren't you a lucky dog, Tucker, said the baker. I've got a peanut butter shamrock, a chicken-flavored pot of gold, and a cheese-flavored horseshoe just for you. When Tucker arrived home, the mailman was delivering a big box. You are the luckiest dog I know, the mailman said, because this box is for you. Tucker tore open the box and jumped inside. His owner said, Lucky Tucker, you were supposed to have a bath tonight, but let's play with your new toys instead. Finally, it was time for Tucker to go to bed. It was his luckiest day ever. He was already dreaming about the next St. Patrick's Day. Click, clack, moo, cows that type by Doreen Cronin. Farmer Brown has a problem. His cows like to type. All day long he hears, click, clack, moo, click, clack, moo, clickety, clack, moo. At first he couldn't believe his ears. Cows that type? Impossible. Click, clack, moo, click, clack, moo, clickety, clack, moo. Then he couldn't believe his eyes. Dear Farmer Brown, the barn is very cold at night. We'd like some electric blankets. Sincerely, the cows. It was bad enough that the cows had found the old typewriter in the barn. Now they wanted electric blankets. No way, said Farmer Brown, no electric blankets. So the cows went on strike. They left a note on the barn door. Sorry, we're closed. No milk today. No milk today, cried Farmer Brown. In the background, he heard the cows busy at work. Click, clack, moo, click, clack, moo, clickety, clack, moo. The next day, he got another note. Dear Farmer Brown, the hens are cold, too. They'd like electric blankets. Sincerely, the cows. The cows were growing impatient with the farmer. They left a new note on the barn door. Closed. No milk. No eggs. No eggs, cried Farmer Brown. In the background, he heard them. Click-clack, moo, click-clack, moo, clickety-clack, moo. Cows that tight, hens on strike. Whoever heard of such a thing? How can I run a farm with no milk and no eggs? Farmer Brown was furious. Farmer Brown got out his own typewriter. Dear cows and hens, there will be no electric blankets. You are cows and hens. I demand milk and eggs. Sincerely, Farmer Brown. Duck was a neutral party, so he brought the ultimatum to the cows. The cows held an emergency meeting. All the animals gathered around the barn to snoop, but none of them could understand moo. All night long, Farmer Brown waited for an answer. Duck knocked on the door early the next morning. He handed Farmer Brown a note. Dear Farmer Brown, we will exchange our typewriter for electric blankets. Leave them outside the barn door, and we will send Duck over with the typewriter. Sincerely, the cows. Farmer Brown decided this was a good deal. He left the blankets next to the barn door and waited for Duck to come with the typewriter. The next morning, he got a note. Dear Farmer Brown, the pound is quite boring. We'd like a diving board. Sincerely, the ducks. Click, clack, quack. Click, clack, quack. Clickety, clack, quack. Giggle, Giggle, Quack by Doreen Cronin. Farmer Brown was going on vacation. He left his brother Bob in charge of the animals. I wrote everything down for you. Just follow my instructions and everything will be fine. But keep an eye on Duck. He's trouble. Farmer Brown thought he heard giggles and snickers as he drove away, but he couldn't be sure. Bob gave Duck a good long stare and went inside. He read the first note. Tuesday night is pizza night. Not the frozen kind. The hens prefer anchovies. Giggle, giggle, cluck. 29 minutes later, there was hot pizza in the barn. Bob checked on the animals before he went to bed. Everything was just fine. Wednesday is bath day for the pigs. Wash them with my favorite bubble bath and dry them off with my good towels. Remember, they have very sensitive skin. Giggle, giggle, oink. Bob had all the pigs washed in no time. Farmer Brown called home on Wednesday night to check in. Did you feed the animals like I wrote in the note, he asked. Done, replied Bob, counting 7 empty pizza boxes. Did you see my note about the pigs? All taken care of, said Bob proudly. Are you keeping a very close eye on Duck, he asked. Bob gave Duck a good long stare. Duck was too busy sharpening his pencil to notice. Just keep him in the house, ordered Farmer Brown. He's a bad influence on the cows. Giggle, giggle, moo, giggle, oink, giggle, quack. Thursday night is movie night. It's the cow's turn to pick. Giggle, giggle, moo. Bob was in the kitchen popping corn just as the animals settled in to watch the sound of music. The phone rang. The only thing Farmer Brown heard on the other end was giggle, giggle, quack, giggle, moo, giggle, oink. Uh-oh, Duck, screamed Farmer Brown. It's for you, Bob. Dusty Locks and the Three Bears by Susan Lowell. Once upon a time, way out west, there were three grizzly bears who lived together in a neat and tidy cabin in the woods. One was a little bitty bear cub, just knee-high to a bumblebee. One was a mild-mannered, mid-sized mama, and one was a great, big, humpback, gray-haired grizzly, 9 feet tall and cross as 2 sticks. They each had a dish to eat their beans from, a little saucer for the bear cub, a tin plate for the mama bear, and a great, big turkey platter for the great, big grizzly bear. And they each had a seat to sit on, a three-legged stool for the bear cub, a rocking chair for the mama bear, and a great, big, lumpy stump for the great, big grizzly bear. And they each had a bed to sleep in, a little straw mattress for the bear cub, a feather bed for the mama bear, and a great big heap of prickly green branches for the great big grizzly bear. One day, while their red-hot beans were cooling in their three dishes, the bears went out for a walk. And just as soon as they turned their grizzly back, something strange came blowing out of the woods. A cloud of smoke? A swarm of mosquitoes? No, siree, it was a dirty little girl. She hadn't had a bath for a month of Sunday, so everybody called her Dusty Locks. But Trouble was her middle name. That little outlaw had run away from home without stopping to kiss her mother goodbye. First, Dusty Locks peeked in the bear's window. Then she squinted through the keyhole of the cabin door. Finally, she barged right straight inside. Those grizzlies were fine, upstanding, law-abiding critters, honest as the day is long, and they never locked their door. "Beans!" cried Dusty Locks. "Yahoo! I'm so hungry I could eat a saddle blanket." Now, if the bears had been there, they would have shown true Western hospitality and said, "Sit right down and dig in." But crusty little Dusty Locks didn't wait to be asked. She took a bite of the big grizzly bear's beans. Mmm. At first, Dusty Locks smacked her lips, but then she let out a yell. "Owie!" A wildfire flamed inside her mouth. She howled louder than 10,000 coyotes. And Dusty Locks said a very bad word. You see, the great big grizzly bear liked his beans chock full of chili peppers. "Too hot!" gasped Dusty Locks. When the fire died down, Dusty Locks took a bite of the mama bear's beans. But the mama liked hers plain, no salt, no nothing. "Pfft!" said Dusty Locks and spat them out. She had no more manners than a pig in a peach orchard. Then she took a bite of the bear cub's beans. "Just right," said Dusty Locks, and she gobbled them all up, licked the saucer clean, and burped. Now Dusty Locks sat on the great big grizzly stump. "I'm rough and tough," she bragged. But it was even too lumpy and bumpy for her. And then she tried the mama bear's rocking chair, but it had too many fancy-dancy cushions for her. So she plunked herself down upon the bear cub's three-legged stool. "Just right," said Dusty Locks. But that heavy little roughneck sat the poor stool right into the ground. This made her madder than a half-squashed hornet. She kicked the pieces out of her way and stomped upstairs. "Running away is hard work," said Dusty Locks, all tuckered out. First, she threw herself down on the heap of green branches that belonged to the great big grizzly. But the branches itched, and they pricked, and they jabbed, and they stabbed Dusty Locks, something terrible. So she jumped up and down till she stamped them into sprigs. Next, she flopped onto the mama bear's feather bed. "Ah," sighed Dusty Locks, "mighty fine." But then she sank down deeper and deeper and deeper, and "oof," cried Dusty Locks, "too soft, get me out of here." And then she tested the bear cub's little straw mattress, and it was neither too hard nor too soft. "Just right," said Dusty Locks, and she covered herself up and fell fast asleep. Meanwhile, the grizzlies came home from their hike. At first, they figured their tiny cabin had been struck by a sandstorm. But when the great big grizzly took a look at his dinner, he got riled. "Somebody's been eating my beans," he growled in his great big rough, gruff voice. "Somebody's been eating my beans," said the mama bear in her mild-mannered, middle-sized voice. "Someone's been eating my beans, too, and has eaten them all up," squeaked the bear cub in his little bitty baby voice. Now, Dusty Locks had ticked over the stump. "Someone's been sitting in my chair," growled the big bear in his great big grouchy voice. And Dusty Locks had dumped the cushions on the floor. "Somebody's been sitting in my chair," said the mama bear in her middle-sized voice. "And someone's been sitting in my chair and smashed it all to flinders," squeaked the bear cub in a little bit bigger voice than before. The great big grizzly got really riled. "Bean rustler," he roared. "Chair buster." And the three bears galloped upstairs looking for trouble. The first thing they found was the heap of stomp sprigs. "Someone's been lying in my bed," growled the big bear in his great big gruesome voice. Then they saw feathers scattered from here to breakfast. "Someone's been lying in my bed," said the mama bear in her middle voice. And then they saw the little straw mattress with a rumpled blanket and a dusty, dirty head upon the pillow. "Someone's been lying in my bed, and here she is," squeaked the bear cub in the biggest voice he had. "Well, I'll be bum-fuzzled," growled the great big bear, scratching his grizzly gray head in amazement. "Land's sake," said the mama bear. "Smells mighty whiffy in here." "P.U.," squeaked the bear cub. "Is that a skunk?" When Dusty Locks heard the big grizzly's voice in her sleep, she dreamed of thunder and lightning. And when she heard the mama bear's voice, she dreamed of her own mother. But when she heard the bear cub squeak, she dreamed she had a bug in her ear, and she woke right up. And when she saw the three grizzly bears staring at her, Dusty Locks was so scared that she tumbled out of bed, took a flying leap through the open window, and made tracks for home. She vamoosed so fast the dust didn't settle for a week. The moment Dusty Locks' mother got a hold of that dirty little desperado, she dunked her in the bathtub. Then she scolded, and she scrubbed, and she rubbed, and she hugged, and she kissed Dusty Locks into a whole new girl entirely, and the three grizzly bears never saw her again. Fancy Nancy's Elegant Easter. It's almost time for the Easter gala. That's a fancy word for a fancy party. I'm all ready, but my mom is not. She's been busy hiding Easter eggs. Knock, knock, someone's at the door. I open it and say, bonjour. That's French for hello. It's my best friend, Bree. Mom asks us to help her finish getting everything ready. We say, yes, yes, yes. First, we find pretty plates and napkins. For an elegant Easter party, plain white just will not do. Look, Bree says. She pulls out something colorful from a paper bag. Voila, the table looks lovely now. But are we finished? Definitely not. In the garden, everything is in bloom. Bree and I make a beautiful bouquet. That's a very pretty bunch of flowers. My dog Frenchie helps too. The cabinet is full of fancy things my mom uses for special occasions. Bree and I show Dad which vase we'd like. He gets it down for us. Divine, I say. You said that when something is so gorgeous, it is very hard to top. Then Dad shows us what he brought for the party. Hooray, I said. The guests will be here soon. At last, everything is just right. My parents both look so elegant. Then I think of something awful that is worse than bad. We have no Easter bunny, I cry. Are you sure, Mom says? She winks at me, and something rustles behind the curtain. The Easter gala will be perfectly fancy after all. Five bouncing bunnies. Five bouncing bunnies hopping on the floor. One jumps away, and then there were four bouncing bunnies hiding eggs in a tree. One falls down, and then there were three bouncing bunnies coloring eggs blue. One paints himself, and then there were two bouncing bunnies making baskets in the sun. One gets tired, and then there was one bouncing bunny shouting, let's have some fun. Happy Easter, everyone. Peter Rabbit's Happy Easter, written by Grace Macarone. Peter Rabbit was feeling very sorry, as he had been a very naughty little bunny yesterday. He had snuck into Mr. McGregor's garden, though his mother had clearly told him not to, and he had lost his quite new blue jacket. Now Peter was determined to do something wonderful for his mother, so she would see what a good little bunny he really was. Then she would love him more than she loved his sisters Flopsy, Mopsy, and Cottontail, who never seemed to do anything wrong. And so began Peter Rabbit's exciting Easter adventure. One Sunday morning, Peter was walking past Mrs. McCullough's hen house when he saw that there were so many more eggs than anyone could possibly need. So he took a few eggs from the hen house and went along on his way. By and by, Peter walked past Mr. Holloway's hen house, and when he saw that there were many, many more eggs than anyone could possibly need. So he took a few eggs from Mr. Holloway's hen house and went on his way. Not much later, Peter walked past Mrs. Jones' hen house and saw once again that there were many, many, many more eggs than anyone could possibly need. So he took a few eggs from Mrs. Jones' hen house and went along his way. By noon, Peter had gathered an enormous number of eggs, which he carried to his home at the bottom of a very big fig tree. And what a good little bunny I am, thought Peter. Mother will be so pleased. As you may have guessed, Peter was not the tidiest of little rabbits. As he carefully tried to stack the eggs against the wall, several open jars of paint, yellow, orange, red, purple, blue, and green, toppled over. And what a wonderful accident it was. The eggs were now decorated with all the colors of the rainbow. Presently, old Mrs. Rabbit returned from the baker's to find a houseful of painted eggs. I gathered them just for you, Peter said. Now, my dear, said old Mrs. Rabbit, quite amazed by the inventiveness of her son's mischief, while I appreciate your good intentions, you should not take what isn't yours. You really must return these eggs to their owners. So that night, Peter returned every one of the colorful eggs. And the next day, Mrs. McMullen's, Mr. Holloway's, and Mrs. Jones's children, along with all the other children in the neighborhood, were delighted by what they found scattered in their gardens. As it happened to be Easter Sunday, the once quite naughty Peter Rabbit started a new tradition and earned himself a respectable new name, and Peter Rabbit became the Easter Bunny.